let's begin. This week's parasha is a very beautiful parasha. There are so many inyanim in this parasha. Let's discuss with a little bit about the Meraglim first. This week's parasha is the Makar for Hasidim and Misnagdim. There's a chosid in this week's parasha and there's a misnagit. What do I mean by that? There are two people who did not fall into the trap of becoming Meraglim. There are two people, there were 12 Meraglim, and 10 of them were not able to be oimed in the nisoyon of coming back and issuing a good report about the land that Hashem promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. 10 of them came back with a slanderous report and horrific consequences. Two of the 12 people made out well. They did not succumb to the pressure of the Meraglim. Who are the two people?
Kalev
and Yehoshua. Question, what was their secret? What was the magic ingredients of Kalev and Yefune that they were able to overcome this very intense nisayon of what they experienced? So the pasuk tells us, Rashi really tells us both. When it comes to Yehoshua, Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalo. Vayikra Moshe lehoshea binun Yehoshua, a name change. Ka Yoshiacha me'atzas miraglim. Kalev, he didn't get a name change. He didn't get a name change. He didn't get a bracha. Moshe wasn't mispalul for him. So what was the secret to his success? What does it say, Yichus? Rashi says what the Yichus was, what he did. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, he was the opposite of Yehoshua. Instead of Moshe being mispalul for him, he was mispalul for himself. He went to the Kivrei Ovos, to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Leah. No, Roch. Roch was on the derech. Leah, Adam, Chava. He went to the Ma'aris Machpel, and he was mispalel. Both of these individuals survived only because of the koyach hatefila. You don't mispal to Allah. That's the whole discussion. You go to a kev avos. What do? You daven to them. They should go. They should go be your intermediary. You daven to Hashem in the zuchus of the tzaddikim that are buried here. Whatever that means. But both of these individuals survived only because of the koyach hatefila. Yeshua. The Koyach HaTefillah was Moshe's Tefillah. Moshe prayed for him. Kalev, no one prayed for. Doesn't say anywhere anyone prayed for him.
Kalev
prayed himself.
That's a problem. That's a weakness. We're supposed to pray for others and ourselves.
And ourselves.
Yeah,
exactly.
He should have been praying for the other Meraglim that they've come to the right conclusion.
Well, you don't know that he did.
Maybe he did. Maybe he did. Rashi seems to say he didn't. Rashi seems to say not. Rashi says he prayed himself for himself. You're asking a good question. I don't know. You know, there are limits in tefillah also. Not all the time.
But he also didn't see it. Now we're saying... You know,
so why didn't Moshe pray?
He praised Yehoshua and not for anyone else?
Yeah, that's right. So what's the pshat?
It's a big problem.
It's not a big problem. It's not a big problem. The issue is you know your customers. The Chazal Rashi says here, the Farish and Rashi, is that from the time when they made the Egel, it already was percolating in the mind of the Meraglim, we're going to slander Eretz Yisrael.
Wow.
That's Rashi on the Pasuk. Rashi on the Pasuk says, the Machshava, to do the Avera, and to speak Lashon Hara Eretz Yisrael already was present, was there, it was the plan, it was the agenda. It's not a conspiracy theory. If not for this Rashi, you would say, what are you looking at? You're reading telegram channels, sugar, conspiracy theories. You're telling me that they already, before they stepped out to go in, they already planned to say Lashon Hara? It's a conspiracy theory. There was a tzaddikim. These are the Messiah Yisrael. Rashi says Beferish. Rashi says, the moment they worshipped the eagle, already it was all of the machshavta, the plan already at that moment was conceived that we're not going into Eretz Yisrael. We're gonna reject it. We're going to stick Lashon Hara. That's the conspiracy theory from the very beginning. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says they knew the plan. They knew, that's what Rashi. I'm not making this up.
No, but how did he know?
I didn't know they could be sent.
What? They knew, obviously there was an understanding. That's what it says. This is what it says in Rashi. So obviously Moshe knew who he's dealing with. if he knew who he's dealing with, this is a train, a runaway train. I can't stop the runaway train. There's one person I can save. I can save Yehoshua. Him I can save. He's my Talmud Vosik, my Talmud. Okay, moving it. Loy Moshu mitoicha oyel. Him I can save. I have an obligation. Can I save Kalev? Doesn't say. We don't know. You're asking a very difficult question. I don't know the answer. Why did we pray for Kalev? Kalev was saved. Let's put that aside. Let's just take note of the facts. The facts are there were two people here that were saved, the Koich HaTzion. One was Yehoshua and one was Kalev. There's a fundamental difference. Yehoshua, he was saved because of someone else's tefillas. Kalev davened for himself. He went to the Maris Machpelah and he was misfal that he should not be influenced by these evil people. What do you learn from this? What do you take away from this? The yesod in life is both. When we who are observers and study the story of the Meraglim, we live in a very dangerous world. We always say it's not like when we brought up with cartoons where there's the forces of good, the force of evil, the force of good in the cartoons back in the olden days, not anymore. Superman always wins. Batman always wins. Aquaman always wins. Right back in the old days when you're children, you go watch the cartoons, the forces of good will always prevail. Baloney. That's a fantasy world. The force of evil always wins. They really do. By nature, the koyach of ra, ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min ura. You don't have a chance. You don't got a chance. By default, the ra is much more powerful than the good. It's only because we're the underdog. It's only because of the Ribbono Shel'olam, the siyata d'shamayim, the koyach Hashem, v'yato yigdal no koyach Hashem. That's the only reason why the koyach of tov overcomes. Al derech ha-teva, there's no chance. There were 12 meraglim. They were evil. They had tremendous koichos. Rashi tells about their physical power to lift incredibly large things. You could imagine how charismatic they were, how brilliant they were, persuasive they were. They had the day. For two people to overcome the nesoyin of being brainwashed, being overwhelmed by their influence, it's nothing less than a miracle. And how did this will come about? The Koyach HaTzvila. And there are two dinin, there are tzvei dinin in the Koyach HaTzvila. Someone should daven for you, and you daven for yourself. Kalev was the, Yehoshua was the quintessential chosid. What does a chosid do? You go to the Rebbe, and you give the Rebbe kvittel, and the Rebbe is nespalu for you. Kalev is the quintessential litvak. I don't go to a Rebbe, I think I'm going to go to a Rebbe, you wear a kvittel. I know people, they wouldn't give a kvittel to a Rebbe if their life depended on it. What?
Don't we learn the idea?
You help yourself. God helps those who help themselves. You got a problem? You go to the Beis HaKfaris. You daven. You daven to Hashem. Yeah.
Don't we learn the Koyach HaTzvila, a person davening for himself from Yishmael? It said that Hagga davened and he heard the voice of Yishmael.
Basher, by Yishmael Hashem is called Hanar. The Nar, that ain't a doymer, the Choyla Atzmai, ain't with Lushman Chazal, the tefillah of the Choyla himself is much more potent than the tefillah of someone else. Absolutely, absolutely. And how do you know that is correct? You're correct, because in this story over here, who really at the end of the day came out ahead? So first of all, when Hashem gives credit, who does he praise first? Ekev Kolev ben Yefuna Ruach Acheris. He comes first. When Hashem gives credit, who gets more credit? Kolev. Who was Noichel Chevron? Kolev. Yehoshua got nothing special. Yehoshua Chazal said they got the 12, they divided what these 12 Meraglim were going to get, they got. But who got an extra portion? Rashi, who got an extra Chevron? You go to Chevron, whose territory is Chevron? Kolev ben Yefun. When you go to Eretz Yisrael,
Yeshua has Ephraim and Menashe. He had a double.
That's not from Yeshua's time. That's from the time of Yosef.
No.
That's Yosef.
Oh, that was
Yeshua,
right?
For this act of being omitted in the Nisayon, Kolev, Rashi says, received the entire Chevron as his nachala.
Not only that, he was the first one to go to Kibrei Ovar after the kibur of Yaakov Avinu. Nobody else went. He was the first person to go visit.
Well, that's what somebody did. That's why he got it. That's the reason why, because he went. That's the cause. What was the result? The result was he got a special blessing. That when you go today to the Maris Nachpelah, whose territory you're standing on, Kolei Ben Yefuneh. You know why? Because he went there to be Nispala.
Is he buried there?
No, he's not buried. Not that we know of. I never saw. Believe me, if he was buried there, they would have a tour, and someone would be making a lot of money from this. But Kolei Ben Yefuneh, he took the matters like a litvak. A litvak is God helps those who help themselves. A chassid, you go to the Rebbe. The Rebbe is everything. The Rebbe does everything for you. The Rebbe is the star. The Rebbe takes care of you. Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim. We live in a generation today where these two have blended together. There's very few people today that I remember once on Hoshana Rabbah. We were in a sukkah, okay, and the people there they make a certain Rebbe comes. Rebbe comes and he gives out an Hashan Rabba Lekach. Yeah. Lekach. And I was in the sukkah with him, someone that I know fairly well. And I said, you're gonna go to lock. Hey Rabbi, everyone come line up. Line up, you get a piece of sponge cake from the Rebbe. It gives you a bracha. So I saw this guy and I said to him, tell me if I'm right. You wouldn't go take Lekach from the Rebbe? Or
even if you were starving.
Even if you were starving. He says, you're right. I don't hold from this. I'm not taking lekach from no one. Okay, there are people like that, very few, but generally today we live in a world where this approach of a Rebbe and a Misnaged have blended together. And really, it's in this week's parasha. We have two people that persevered. Okay, Rabbi, please, very hard, overcome. We have two people here persevered. Two people. Who? Yoshua and Kolev. Yoshua was the recipient. Someone davened for him. Kolev davened for himself. We who walk away from this parasha, what do we look at? The big picture. To succeed in life, you have to be machnia yourself to those that came before you, to those that taught you, who brought you here, who know better, and ask them to help you, to give bracha, to be misfalo for you. That's your Yeshua only survived because he was a recipient of chesed, of tzedakah, from his Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Rebbe. Mitzad sheni, that's not life. Life, you don't take. You have to earn your own keep. Kolei Ben Yefuneh, he went, he was Moshe Nefesh to go to Ma'aras Machpelah, to the Mispalel. That's the bottom line, you gotta do both. You can't have one without the other. It's a fact, it's a mitzvah. At the end of the parasha, all the commentators, all the darshan, this is the parasha to do this more than any other parasha the whole year. What is the connection between the beginning of the parasha and the end of the parasha? The end of the parasha, the mitzvah of tzitzis. And it's so obvious, tzitzis is all about looking. Your eyes should not go astray. Don't be like the miraglim. You can see a lot in this world. You see what you want to see. The miraglim were given the opportunity to see a lot of good things. They chose to see what they should not have seen. Tzitzis, it's the same thing. You want to look around in this world, there's a lot of good. You can look at everything two ways. Every single situation, you can see the good, and if you want to be a rotten person, you can see in everything. You can be cynical. All the an event. You know, the event Wells Fargo. The two machanois. The people that went. Wow, what an inspiration! And the litzanim. The litzanim have nothing better to do but always, you know, they look for trouble. Everything in life you see in life. You can see good, you can see v'loy sosuru achrei levachem v'achrei enechem ashratem zoynim achareyem. The mitzvah of tzitzis correlates to the sugya of the miraglim. What do you do to the tzitzis, Rabbi? What do you do? There are two parts to the tzitzis. The lavan and the tcheles. Okay. What? Maybe I should what?
Maybe you should call in.
Okay, this is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yisai, please, Rabbi Yisai, it's really not fair. It takes away from the shiur. It's very disturbing. Please, everyone here knows how to operate one of these devices.
No, I'm not really.
Okay, so if not, you know, you drive a car. You don't drive, unless you have a license. You have a phone, you have an achrayis. You have an achrayis when you come into a mokayim, a public place, to, you know, you don't drive your car on the sidewalk. There are rules of how to operate. It's a very dangerous vehicle. So you have a device, you have to, you know, it's just a basic degree of responsibility to your fellow citizens. Okay, now let's go. Okay, accidents happen. No one's going to hold you. You know, but there's a certain degree of how far we go.
Right.
The parasha of tzitzis. There are two parts of parasha of tzitzis. There is the lovan and the tchelis. The lovan is. It's interesting how the Torah presents the lovan and the tchelis. The lovan is the default. I think it's almost an automatic that you're going to have lovan on your tzitzis, and then the Torah has to emphasize. But I want you to put on the love on techeles. Let me read the words of the pasuk at the end of the parasha. Daber, we say this every day, twice a day, at least twice a day. Daber b'yishol v'martam l'yam. V'yosu lohem, they shall make for themselves tzitzis. Al, upon, kanfei v'gdehem l'doyorsam. They shall make for themselves tzitzis upon the garments, upon the corners of their garments for all generations. And then it says, the nosinu, and they shall put. There are two words al upon the tzitzis that already exist, hakonof, a pesil techeles. We read this every day, this pasuk. There are two words describing what you have to do. There has to be tzitzis, which is basically the basic strings, and then there has to be a lavan. And then there has to be a pasil of techeles. The Torah uses two words. The asu, they shall make, and the nosinu, they shall put. Now, there are two. Why are there two different words? Why did the Torah break up the expression in such a way? Obviously, there's a difference. It would appear the word vinosinu is a more intense, it's a more precise word. Vyasu, they shall make. Vinosinu means to put. Just not a matter of, okay, you do it, it's done. It's done. I'm out of here. Vinosinu, in contrast to the word vyasu, connotes precision, connotes a concentration and an intensity of placement. When it comes to the tzitzis, you know, it's done. Techeles, we want precision. What's the difference? What's the pshat? What I want to suggest is that these two elements of the nisina and nisina, the lovan and the techeles, they correspond to Yehoshua and Kalev. The lovan is Yehoshua. We're not coming to celebrate the Meraglim here. The Meraglim were wicked. They died a miserable Nisa Meshune. Yeah, Pasuk says, worms came out of their stomach. They died in a magefa. In the aftermath, they died a miserable, disgusting death. These people who were originally very great, holy people, beyond our wildest imagination, we can't even begin to fathom what was really going on, the Nisoyon of what's going on over here. And they died a misa mishune right on the spot in the parish. The pasuk says, and so we're not coming to discuss them. They're gone. They're out of here. We're coming to focus on the survivors. We focus on the heroes of the parish. Who are the heroes? Yehoshua and Kalev. Yehoshua is the lovan. Kalev is the tchelas. The lovan, the asulohem tzitzis, set up a society. Rabbi Yisai, where on the corners of your garment this tzitzis, people are taken care of. It shall be the asu is almost like addressing the tzibur, addressing the roish hamishpacha. You have children, daven for them. You have grandchildren, daven for them. You have talmidim, daven for them. You have chassidim, daven for them. This is what comes with the turf. This comes with the property. You come into this world, you have people that you're responsible for. V'yasulohem tzitzis. Make sure that you have a koyach. These are holy items, the tzitzis. There's a koyach that goes into it. But then that's not enough. We switch gears. V'nosinu al tzitzis hakonof. This product that you have, which has been given to you, you have to build on it. You have to put upon it the psil techeles. Techeles demel yam, and the yam is demel rakia, and the rakia is demel to the kisya kovit. Davin, oimed lifnei hamelech. It's not enough to live your life as a taker. I have white tzitzis. You know what the white tzitzis means? Someone prayed for me. Someone brought me into this world. They daven for me, and I'm living off their merit. How come I'm around, and there's so many people who didn't survive, and no one knows the answer to that? That's not a nice question to say, and I'm not nice. I don't mean it like that. But we all see often that why him, why not someone else? No one knows the answer, but we have to accept to a small degree. Obviously, it's not the whole answer. There's such a thing that people are misfollow. Your parents, grandparents, mothers. How many times do you hear of stories, people that totally turned around, and you hear later how their mother, their grandmother, cried, demoy shlish, that this person should not continue down the way of life that is not proper. We don't know, obviously, every person without beyond a shadow of a doubt is living off some degree, some element of zuchus avos. The fact that we exist has to be. The osu lohem tzitzis al kanfei vigdehem. You're living in a dangerous world. You're looking around. You acknowledge someone gave you a bracha. That's not enough. It's not enough. You have to go and be like Kolev. V'nosinu al tzitzis hakonof psil techeles. You have to add. You have to daven. You have to be like Kolev and be mespalu. Make your own input. In earning your own right to succeed and have merit in this world. So to review this idea, in this week's parasha, we have the chosid and the litvak, or the misnag, however you want to refer to him. One was Yoshua, the koyach of tefillah, someone else's tefillah. Kolev, it was his own tefillah. The Musa Haskel is, that's life. You need to be machnia to our teachers, our rebbeim, our parents, we live in their merit. But it doesn't stop there. You have to be a kolev. Ruach acheres hoisaboy, Pasuk says. You have to dive in yourself and give your own achievements. Tzitzis is a reflection, is a practical reflection and application of the lessons of the Meraglim. You have to protect yourself. You have to be careful what you look at. And what do we put on the tzitzis? So we put on this garment to protect ourselves and to be reminded of how to look. Lavan and techeles. The lavan is the mahalich of Yehoshua. We are recipients of the bracha. It's an extension of what comes from the garment. The garment is the avos. And from the garment comes forth an extension. We're their extension. But it's not enough just to be a taker and live off their merits. V'nosinu al tzitzis hakonof pesil techeles. You have to be a kolev also. You have to daven for yourself. Daven for others. You have to also contribute to the cause. Yes?
What do you mean by love?
Love means white.
No, I know love means white. Why?
That's a Talmudic expression.
Oh.
That when in the strings that stand in contrast to the blue are called lava. Me'ikar hadin, you can paint it any color you want. You can paint it green. I don't want to even get. Don't get me started now. Hamevin yavin. You can paint the Meir's really laughing there. Meir, why did you bring in a rainbow? There's like a rainbow color over there. Look what I see over there in this box over here. Look at the color of the box. That's why they threw it in the garbage. Now you know why they threw it in the garbage. All right, I'm just joking. Okay, it's just a Talmudic term. Lava means the strings that are not techeles, and the techeles are the blue strings. Nothing more than that. It's interesting. When does the mitzvah tzitzis begin? Mishayakir ben lava and the techeles. When could you make a bracha? When can a person say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam? When you can differentiate between the white and the blue. When you can differentiate between the bracha you have in this world only in Zuchus Avos, and the bracha you have in this world because of your merit. When you're able to appreciate the difference between Lavan, and Tcheles, then you can say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. You have to know where you're standing. You have to take inventory. You're living in your merit, or you're living in the merit of someone else? You're living only in the merit of someone else, that's not so good. You have to live in your merit. And just to live in your merit, you'll never survive a day. You have to connect yourself to something larger than yourself. When you're able to be makir, to be mavdil, to see the difference between lovin and techeles, then you can make a bracha. Baruch ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. Let's go to another idea. When Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel for Yehoshua, what did he do? He added a letter to his name. From Hoshea to Yehoshua. Changed all the vowels. Adding one letter, causes chaos. All the vowels had to be rearranged. But where did Moshe Rabbeinu get the letter Yud from? Where did he snatch the letter Yud? He was going with Meir. Meir would find him. He would snatch him from someone very quickly. But where did he get the letter Yud from? He got it from Sora Imenu. Sora used to be called Sorai, and now Hashem changed her name from Sorai to Sora. So the Yud was deleted. So the Yud said, Ribbono shel Olam, this is not fair. You go and you just knock me off like this. Hashem says, patience. The day will come. They wait a long time. Patience come to those people, good things come to those who wait. Sometimes. Not all the time. But the Yud complained. Hashem says, patience, I'm going to take this Yud and attach you to the beginning. You're now at the end of the name, you're going to go in the beginning of the name. And you're going to go to Hoshea Yehoshua. There's a lot more to the story than that. I mean, let's ask the question. What gave Yehoshua the koyach, some Musa Haskell in life, to overcome the Nisoyah? The whole world, the majority, you have 12 people. 10 of them were determined, 100% determined to slander the land and to bring a korban to Klal Yisrael. This was their agenda. And there's nothing holding them back. And no one's going to get in their way. Okay, if you see the onslaught in the history of the world of people who have an agenda and have power, no one gets in their way.
We're living here.
No. I want to talk politics. Again, the politics, again, the trouble. I want to talk politics. I want to talk about it. World history. World history. You're saying, God, okay. When someone has an agenda and they're determined and they have power, no one gets in their way. They will do whatever they want. That's the way the world has always been. You have 12 miraglim. 10 of them are determined. These are the princes. These are the leaders. They have the power. Not only do they have the power, they have the intelligence. The brilliant people. They have charisma. These are not politicians, stomp politicians. These are real people. And they have a real agenda. And they have enormous power. No one's getting in their way. How in the world did Yehoshua overcome this? Just because Moshe was misfallen? Okay, yeah, we said that, but there's more to the story. What's the chilik between Sorai and Sora? Sarai, you know, you have to appreciate that a name in Tanakh is the essence of the neshama. Sarai means possessive. My princess. Sarai was my princess, the princess of Avraham Avinu. Personal. This is a personal, she's mine, no one else's. Sarah is the princess of the entire world. We give her over to the whole world. But when it was Sarai, it's privacy, not subject to publicity, to other people. When Hashem took away the Yud, you know what that Yud represents? It represents independence. Privacy. Kol kivuda bas melech pinima. Pure independence from anything else. Hashem said there's going to be a day when we're going to need to give that koyach, that the koyach of independence, to be an independent thinker and not succumb to the influence of the rabbin to a person. The Yud is not just stam, oh, very nice, very cute. Cute. You take away the letter Yud from one person, you put it somewhere else. Very cute. That's not what it's about. The Yud in the name Sarai connotes in grammar my, personal, no one else. No one's allowed to have anything to do with this woman. She's my princess. She's not a public figure. Kol kavuda bas melech penima. Avraham took his wife and put her in a box when they went into Egypt. It's none of your business to see my wife. He put her in cargo. Hashem said, no. The time now has come when she will be on the world stage. She is public property. Sarah, the princess of the world. The world has to get to know who this woman is and learn from her ways and be influenced by her Yirah Shamayim. So Hashem took, but what about the Yud? There's going to be a person that's going to need to be a private person to protect him from the influence of the rabbin. You have 10 people here. The sum is greater, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. How in the world did Yehoshua maintain his independence, his independent way of thinking? Because he got the Yud of Sarai, the Yud of possessiveness, of individuality. That is the koyach of Yehoshua. You can think all you want. I don't care what the world thinks. I think differently. I see the land in a different light. Toiva ha'aretz, me'oid, me'oid. I'm not influenced by your nonsense. Don't try to intimidate me, to pressurize me, to bribe me, to threaten me. I'm independent. I can think for myself. I can analyze, I can daven, I can have my own siyat d'shmaya to come to my own conclusion. You know what that takes? It's impossible. The pressure, people tell you stories about how much pressure, that they do the wrong thing, just they can't take the pressure. That's the way it goes. There's so many studies on this concept. Sarai had the koyach of independence. Hashem preserved that to Yehoshua to give him the ability to go up against the koyach of the rabbin. Kalev is the same thing. Who was Avraham Avinu? The whole world was bowing down to idols. The whole world was on one side, and Avraham was on the other side. One man against the entire world. How in the world could you survive? To overcome, to maintain independence. How in the world could Yitzchak, the oil of Tamima, people looked at him, a human sacrifice? With power, with Meparo, Melech Gror, also a degree of independence, and Yaakov for sure. Yaakov, 20 years living with Lavan, and his whole chevra, Meshagoyim there, and he can walk out and he could say, Im Lavan Garti, V'Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, one man against everyone? Kalev, he went to independent thinkers. The koyach to be shoye from these people of their in koyach to be independent is quite a feat. Klal Yisrael today, only 15 million people. The world has a population of 7.5 billion people, according to some estimates. No one knows for sure, but 7.5 billion people. Klal Yisrael, 15 million people. How many of them are proud Jews? I don't know the numbers. How many of them are observant to some degree? I don't know the numbers, but it's not a big number relative to the entire world. How do you do it? How do you do it? V'loy sosuru acharei einechem v'acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem asher atem zoinim achareihem. You learn from Yeshuva Cholif. You take the Yud of Sarai, you go to the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the stubbornness, the stamina to remember where you come from, to know, to hold on, the emes. That's the koyach of Yeshua v'Cholev, and that's the musa of this week's parasha. The musa is Sarai, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Where did the hay of Sarah come from? Good question. I don't know the answer.
The yud was divided in half.
Gematria. That's a gematria. The gematria. I like to think it came from Avraham. By Avraham it says Bihi Borom. Bihi Borom. Hashem Bihi Borom. And Chazal there say Avraham. Hashem made the world for Avraham. It's a small one. So why is it small? Because Hashem saved the larger portion of that hay, Yachatz, and gave it to Sarah. So Sarah's koyach was a takeoff of Avraham. Avraham, not the Avram. I'm talking about...
Where did the hay come from, Avraham?
Okay, you're getting me, you're confusing me with the facts. Let's quit while we're ahead. I don't know. Let's go to another idea. Okay, this is a short idea. I just want to point out there. Rashi, this parasha very much dwells upon two chatoim, and this is basically said in Judaism. There are two major averos of Klal Yisrael, two big averos: the chet ha'egel and the chet of the meraglim, and there are striking similarities. And Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in trying to appease Hashem, to mevakesh mechila. And when you study the Pesukim, it's really remarkable how Klal Yisrael, a few people sin. Okay, by the Egel, Chazal tell us it was the Erev Rav, the vast majority of Klal Yisrael really had nothing to do with this. Unfortunately, they did not protest. They were tolerant to a degree, whatever that means. And Moshe comes down, he shatters the luchos, and he tells Klal Yisrael, what did you do? And he screams at them, Mila Hashem Elai, and he removes the sinners, and they're killed. And then Moshe goes to Shemayim begging Hashem for mechila. And ultimately, Hashem really came through big time. Moshe says, and also Moshe's tefillos were very, very passionate. Moshe invokes Zuchus Ava, Zuchor li Avraham li Yitzchak li Yaakov. That's powerful stuff. Moshe says, Hashem says to Moshe, he says, I'm going to wipe them out, and I'm going to make you ve'eseh oitzechol goy godol otzum v'rov mimenu. Moshe says, no, I'm not interested. Don't you dare. Take me out of the Torah. And ultimately Hashem comes around, we all know the story. Meraglim is almost the same pattern, but on a much smaller scale. Whereas in the Chet HaEgel, Hashem teaches Moshe the Yud Gimel Midoy Sarachanim. Here, just a token. Moshe, first of all, Hashem doesn't do anything. Hashem doesn't tell him, we don't have all the drama of Nesateif HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kishliach Tzibur, and teaches Moshe the Yud, Gimel, Midah, Sarach. I mean, we don't find Hashem responding with such passion and drama. Hashem, okay, Vayoymer Hashem Solachti Kidvorecha. Which, look at Rashi, is not necessarily so complimentary. Basically, according to Rashi, Hashem says, you know, I really don't forgive you, but the chilul of my name, I'll do it l'man shemi. That's a Rashi. I'm just going to spare you, not because I really want to forgive you, but you made a good argument that it's going to be a chilul Hashem. The world's going to say it's because of that Hashem doesn't have the ability. Okay, it's a good argument. So lachni kidvarecha. Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to make you into a new nation. Moshe here doesn't say to Hashem, Mocheini non misivrcha shekosofta. He doesn't go so far. When Moshe is misfaled, he doesn't even use all of the yud gimel midos sarachim. He just uses a few. Hashem, kelrachum lechan and erech apayim. No, you say, oh, but he only has a smaller selection. Why? He doesn't invoke zuchus avos. Why is the scale of what happened here, the teshuvah, less than the chedo ego? I don't have a really good answer, but I just want to make an observation, which I think is very important. There's a very big difference between the chet egel and the chet meraglim. The chet egel was primarily a chet bein adam lamokim. Every chet bein adam lamokim is also inevitably a chet bein adam lachaveroi, and every chet bein adam lachaveroi is certainly a chet bein adam lamokim. But let's put the needle on where is the emphasis. You come out of Egypt, you're in the desert. Moshe Rabbeinu, is not here. So what did they do? Moshe Rabbeinu. So they made an eagle. What did they say to the eagle? Eile Elohecha Yisrael, Asher Ha'elucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. We have found a replacement for the Ribbono Shel'Olam. The eagle Hazal is going to be our new God. It's primarily a chet bein Adam l'Makom, man and God. What was the chet of the Meraglim? So you'll say, yes, also, that's the land that Hashem promised to give to your forefathers. But when you look at the story more carefully, you have 3 million people traveling in the desert. 10 people have an agenda. They have 10 people. 10 people take it upon themselves to bring grief and despair to their fellow citizens. These are the leaders of the Jewish people. These are the Nisim. And they have an agenda. And the agenda is to dampen their hearts, to tell them all, you're all going to die. You're all going to die in the desert. You're going to die. Vayivku ha'om balayla ha'hu. Forget about, let's say they would go to Eretz Yisrael and they would come to the conclusion, let's just play a fantasy game, and they would come to the conclusion that it is impossible for real for us to ever go into the land. They're going to come back now, there's 3 million people, and what are they going to say to them? You're going to say to them, they're all going to die. We're all going to die. Is that the responsibility of a leader? Of leaders? Is that the way you tell them? You tell them to dampen their spirits. There's some very powerful expressions here in their description of the land, how they, by sapulo, ephes. Ephes. Ephes means it's all worth nothing. The land, the word ephes is the ugliest word. In modern Hebrew, it means zero. Ephes. Yeah, everything is nice. Vayashivu oisam dovar, v'eskoloi devayarum es pri ha'aretz. They showed them the fruit. Vayesakuloi vayermuloi bonol aretz asher shlachtanu degam zavas cholov udvash hi v'zeh piryon. Now, that's the good news. So if you were the leader, they were responsible leaders, and really believed there's no way we can go into Eretz Yisrael, so come up with a solution.
What's the alternative?
Yeah. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out.
Protecting them the whole time. That's in the desert. miraculous all the time. So they don't think that if they go into Eretz Yisrael, God can't protect them. I don't understand.
Let's say they think that you'll use whatever it is in their mind. We have the merit. We need zuchusim. The miracles that Hashem have done for us in the desert are not on the level of the miracles that we're going to need to get into the land. You can legitimize anything in your mind. You can legitimize. Let us say in the world of fantasy, the Meraglim were tzaddikim gemurim, and yet they came to an honest conclusion that the miracles that we're going to need to go into the land are on a scale above and beyond what we've experienced until now, and we don't have the merit for that. So we're in a very dangerous predicament. What are we going to do now? So a responsible leader is facing a nation of 3 million people. Would come up with a plan, and the goal of the plan is to be optimistic. That's what a leader is. We have a war, we have a tzara, and instead of telling the people we're all gonna die, you have to display optimism in a responsible, dignified way. And instead, they basically tell all the people, guys, you're all gonna die. Ephes, everything is worthless. They depict an image of giants coming to step on them. You're a bunch of grasshoppers. You can say the same thing in many ways. And you can promote optimism. And listen, we got this far. We'll figure it out. No. Lahaches. Amalek Yoshe. They lay it on thick. They lay it on thick. And the result is, and what is the result? Vatisa, what do they do? Vatisa, kolo eda, vayidu es kolon, vayivku ha'am. They cried, balayla, wait a second. Vayivkum balayla ha'hu, that night. This is the ultimate chait bin Adam l'chaveira. The ultimate betrayal of your people. I don't know how they were elected, these people. I don't know how they came in. They were Nisim. They were princes. They were handpicked by Hashem. Was there some type of vote? There's Mashma Chazal, the word. There are elements of voting. There is such a thing in ancient times. Whatever it is, this is the ultimate betrayal. Bein Adam Lachaveiro. What's a worse Aveira? Bein Adam Lachaveiro or Bein Adam Lamoked? Countless times, Chazal tell us, a sin in Adam l'chaveroi is much worse. Adam l'mokai. The chait of the mabul was in Adam l'mokai. What was bein Adam l'chaveroi. What happened? The world was destroyed. The Migdal Bavel was the chait bein Adam l'mokai. So everyone got some real estate for this. Hashem dispersed everyone all over the world. Over and over, Chazal say, the chait here was much, much worse. When the chait is that much worse, your defense is that much less. We don't find here the drama. When you match up the psukim, the response of Moshe Rabbeinu to what happened, you parallel, you compare, you contrast, the chait o'egel, the chait o'meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu is not as dramatic. Hashem's response of mechila doesn't match. Hashem doesn't put on a talus and teach them another set of Yud Gimel Yud Sarachim. Moshe doesn't even bother to say Zuchor li Avraham li Yitzchak li Yaakov. There's no defense.
But there are similarities.
100%. Achet is achet. No, achet is achet.
What I'm saying is, in both cases, there was a crisis and a moment of despair, right? In the Meraglim, they despaired of reaching their goal. And when Moshe was late, or quote unquote, their leader was missing, a moment of crisis and despair, and they went.
Absolutely, but we have to appreciate the fundamental difference of betrayal to your own people, and this is chait bin Adam l'chaveroi, and for this Moshe. And you'll say, oh, but it's only these 10 people. You know, your leaders are a reflection of who you are. It's a mitzvah. And if this betrayal between the leader and the people, that's just a reflection that between man and his fellow man, there must have been, who are we to talk about? The people, you know, who lived. But this Torah is presenting the chait. The leader is just a reflection of the people. If the leaders are betraying their people, who put them in office? The people, there's an element, you get what you put in.
You get the government you deserve.
You get what you deserve, exactly. And this is a very serious, a chait, the Musa Haskel of this parsha is to look back at Parshas Kisisa and contrast and see, you know, we didn't do so well. We didn't do so well here in the atonement element. When Hashem, you know, that's not a very nice pasuk. It sounds all very dramatic. We say this in Yom Kippur at night. You know what that pasuk means? Rashi says, I don't forgive you. That's really what Rashi says. I don't forgive you. The only reason why I'm going to tolerate you is because Leman Shemi, the world is watching. And the world saw me take you out of Egypt, and now they'll see you be destroyed when you come in the Midbar, and the world will say that Hashem doesn't have enough koyach to finish off the deal, to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. It's a chil Hashem, asei l'man shemecha. But you? I don't forgive you. Are you talking? Hashem doesn't forgive us? It's not much what it says. Hashem? Why? If Hashem forgave us for the chet ha'egel, We said El after everything Hashem did for us. We had the chutzpah to say El Elohecha Yisrael. So this is worse? Yeah, this is taka worse. You know why this is worse? Because this is betrayal. Bein Adam l'chaveiro. And that's the pits. If you ever experience betrayal, it's very painful. You have a friend, there's certain expectations. You don't just let your friend hang out to blow in the wind.
Do we have a clarity? These are kulam anashim, the greatest of the person is like
originally.
How could they have done so badly? How could they have gone after their
own? You're asking a very tough question. I have no idea. I want to finish up with one more vart, short vart. We have at the end in this parasha we have a sugya, a very fascinating sugya of nesachim. Every single carbon, b'liyotze min haklal, is accompanied by a meal offering, a mincha, and libations. What are libations? Yayin. You take wine, and wine is poured on the spout of the mizbeach. On the bottom of the mizbeach, there's a spout, and they pour. And they pour. Where is the spout? Is
wine and water.
That's wine and water. That's on top, right?
Yeah,
on top of the mizbech. On top of the mizbech. Every single carbon is accompanied by yayin. Every animal, not birds.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Only animal sacrifice. A par, which is a ben bokar, or kvasmanism, and a kvasmanism. Okay, animal sacrifices. How much? Well, it depends. If you bring a keves, you bring a shlishis hahin, a third of a hin. If you bring an ayil, you bring a revius hahin. And if you bring bokar, it's chatsi hahin, yayin. And then the pasuk uses a very interesting word. After it tells you all of the rules and the shiurim for the yayin, kocho ye'ose. This is the way it is. Isn't that a little bizarre? Kocha yeyoseh. It sounds like Purim. Kocha yeyoseh lo ish. Asher ha-melech chafetz b'karo. It sounds like Masechta Yevamos. Kocha yeyoseh lo ish. Asher lo yivneh es beis ochiv hanoah. It's exactly the point. The word kocha, I'm shocked. There's no Balaturim that says this. I would expect the Balaturim to say all the plays where it says word kocha. Now, maybe there are more places. But it's interesting, it says the word kocha in the Torah, in the Tanakh, in one place which represents the ultimate covenant, and one place which represents, in essence, the ultimate bezionos. A woman to spit in front of you, to spit at you, and to take off your shoes. You know what a bezionos? Via, via. You're right, you're right, before now. Hello? Haloi si kolim. No, Esther by Achashverosh. Achashverosh says. Yeah, but there are two of them. There's a kocha by Kovod, where Mordechai, when Achashverosh told Haman to go dress up Mordechai in the Levush Malchus, and he should be put on the king's horse and paraded in the street, and they should call out in front of him, Kocha Yeoseh Loish, Asher HaMelech, Chofetz Bikoroi. So is done to a man to whom the king wants to give honor. Mitzat Sheni, there's another Kocha that expresses, so shall be done to a man who is evil, so to speak, who doesn't want to rebuild the home of his brother. His brother died and has no children, and here you have an opportunity to rebuild your brother's home, and you don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. You got better things to do with your life. What a chutzpah. So what does the Yavama do? She spits in front of him. She takes off his shoes. Shoes? You take off my shoes, those $500 shoes? What a bizoyan. Shoes represent a person's mobility, a person's ability to conquer the world. V'chivshua. You take off my shoes? What a chutzpah. You spit at me? Yeah. Because you're a good for nothing. Here you have an opportunity to rebuild your brother's home, and you don't want to rebuild your brother's home? I'm going to spit. The pasuk says spitting is a bizoyan. It says by Moshe, it says by Miriam, V'yavia yoroik yorak b'fonecha haloi si koleim shevas yamim. If her father would have spit at her, wouldn't she be so embarrassed to hide out for 7 days? The Torah says b'feresh, an act of spitting is an act of bizoyanis. Act of taking off a shoe is an act of bizyonis. You're not worthy. How does a slave treat a master? So the rabbi, the way you acquire a slave is the slave has to show, you are my master. You know how you show someone you are my master? You put on their shoes. So you know what that means? That when you take off their shoes, it means you're a piece of garbage. You're not my master. I'm your master. You don't deserve that. You don't deserve that you should be my master. You do two things to this man, to be mevazeh him. And how does the Torah introduce? Kocha! Kocha ye'ose lo'ish asher melech chofetz bikaroi. Kocha ye'ose lo'ish asher lo yivneh es beis ochev hanoal. So you see here where kocha is associated with kovod and bezyonos. Now we come to a carbon. A person does an avera. An avera, how are you talking? He's mechalal Shabbos. He eats non-kosher by accident. Okay, we're not talking about he did the mezid. But every accident is a shtickle mezid. We all know that's why you're designing oinus. You're sloppy. When a person brings a carbon, and it's not really an accident. That's not a good word. The word accident, that's brainwashed. You bring a carbon when you're a shug. You know what shug really means? Sloppy. You're sloppy. An accident, if it was a real accident, you're potter. It's like a misasek. The terminology we use is far from precise. A shoygeg means you're sloppy. If you really cared about Hashem, you would not have found yourself doing an avera like this. You didn't do it amazing, but you know it was no accident. You just didn't, you know, you let it happen to a degree. Wow, what a chil Hashem, what a chil Hashem. And because of your chil Hashem, you know what's going to happen? Hashem has really, really, you should be the carbon. We should take you, and we should tie you up with your hands and feet, and slaughter you, and take your blood and pour it on the Mizbeach, and burn you. Isn't that what a carbon? Why? Because you're sloppy. You're a sloppy person. You don't really pay attention to what you're doing in this world. But you know something? The Ribbono Shel Olam had rachmanis on you. He wants to give you another chance. And instead of you, we're going to have a replacement. An animal. And we're going to slaughter the animal, and we're going to pour its blood, and we're going to burn the carbon, we're going to give the Koyanim beef from its meat, and you'll eat a little, and you'll Koyanim from its meat, and we'll give the Koyanim the hides. That's the carbon. Now, it's time to say goodbye. What's the takeaway? What's the takeaway? Kocha ye'ose lo ish. Is it good or bad? Kocha ye'ose. Is this good or bad? Well, the word kacha is associated with yayin. When do you give a person yayin? Yayin is not in and of itself something which does anything to a person. Yayin is purely a tool to get you to where you need to be. If a person wants to be in a state of joy, you drink yayin, loosen you up, and now you can elevate yourself to a state of joy. The person is in a state of misery. Misery. Tenu yayin lo'oived v'sheikh lo, I don't remember the pasuk, l'morei nefesh. To a person who's a morei nefesh, and to an oved, the pasuk says, give him a cup of wine. A cup of wine is offered to a person in joy. The achar kein yishteh hanozir yayin. You give yayin to a person, a simcha, all of the life cycle, every simcha, boirei priyagofen. But you give yayin to an oval, you give 10 cups of wine, maker adin, 10 cups of wine were given to Avel. Then they cut it down to 4. You give yayin to an oivet, a person who went off a deep end. Kocha. When the carbon is over, the takeaway is life is complicated. The bring of the carbon on the one hand captures the godless Adam. You give the yayin to Hashem. Kocha ye'ose. Kocha ye'ose lo ish asher hamelech chofetz bikoroi. We give kovoi to Hashem. We bring the yayin, Hashem l'chaim. You pour the wine on the mizbech, it's like you're giving Hashem l'chaim. You should be besimcha. We did teshuva. The sin is gone. We have improved. But mitzad sheni, you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a cup of yayin as if to give Hashem comfort. You know, the world is not the way you wanted it to be. Plan A, Hashem, was to be a tzaddik. Hashem Elokim also es Adam Yashor. Hashem made man, and man, you know, man messed up. So here we bring a carbon to get back on track. Hamokrim Yinachem Eschem. When a person brings a cover, you're giving nechama to Hashem. Hashem, you know, we did an Avera. Doing an Avera is not what you wanted for this world. But look, we brought a carbon. We're coming to give you nechama. Kocha ye'oseh. The yayin is something you give for simcha, and it's something you give for nechama. We're giving Hashem grois to simcha by bringing the carbon. L'reyach nichoyach. We have to acknowledge this is not plan A. Plan A is to be perfect. It's to strive to be a tzaddik. And an error occurred. A chait is a terrible thing. Hashem, don't be upset. Have nechama. Because look, we're doing teshuvah. We brought a carbon. We're atoning for our sin. We are restoring our neshama to where it should be. The yayin is that tool which achieves kocha ye'oseh when there is kavod, the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kavod of man, and it's also a polite reminder that we have failed. We shouldn't walk away from bringing a carbon. Yay, we brought a carbon. You're proud to bring a carbon. Chazal say the Farish, people brought carbonus, they were in a state of bezoyim. They had a hide, they had to cover the animal so no one should know what kind of animal this is. Because people very quickly online, they'll be tweeting and they'll be posting, it was seen in the Azara, so-and-so was bringing a female animal of this type, and how much? Oh, that means one thing only. One thing only. He did this Avera. So the Torah says, a fat tail, so no one should see the animal. Shelter his bizyonites. Bringing a carbon is a shtickle bizyon. He did an Avera. Kochi Yoselish Asher lo Yivne Space Ochis Hanoa. The Yivama spits at him. The person has to have the Yayin. The Yayin goes in the Mizbeach, but it's all a reminder to us that we have failed. And we have to get back on track. The two kocha, it's a reminder of the two extremes. Yayin is a tool which goes both ways. I very say thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. We'll Shabbos and Nachum and Zohar. Come on, summer. Baruch, have a safe and successful trip. Good Shabbos, everyone. Ron, thank you for coming, Ron. Good to see you. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos, everyone. Good Shabbos.